Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. We are going to go right to the phones where we are joined by Scott Raffel from St. Vrain State Park. Scott, thank you for patiently waiting. We will get to plenty of time in the segment, I promise. But I thought that I thought that Chris was really getting into some neat information. I wanted to make sure we got that out.
Oh yeah, of course. Actually, I thoroughly enjoyed listening to him. I was just thinking how I was going to talk a little bit about trying to fish on still water with streamers today.
That's perfect. I mean, because you guys have such a great. Well, first, let's tell people where St. Vrain is located and describe the park a little bit.
So most people see it. They drive right by it. They'll see the campers or they'll see the ponds, but it's right off I-25 at exit 240 on Highway 119. And open part of the park has 11 fishable ponds, 7.5 miles of trails, and 87 campsites.
Yeah, and I drive by it every time I come to Denver, and it looks like you're close to the highway, but when you get in there, there's trees and lakes, and it's really a great opportunity that is so accessible. And you were right. And in fact, I want to tell you, you have a couple events where you have an event and a couple of things we really want to spend some time on. But before we get to that, let's talk about the amenities of the park. First, your campgrounds are open year-round. Is that right?
Yeah, starting next weekend after one of our events, we're going to close 3 of the camp loops, but we'll still have 5 of them open, and they'll have heated water hydrants. Half of them have sewage and electricity, and then the other half has electricity year-round.
And you have day-use picnic areas and things too, I believe, right?
Yeah, we have several, and most of them are right on the ponds or next to handicap access, so you can pretty much fish right from your picnic site.
And let's talk about the fishing. It is such a tremendous resource. Before we even get to what totally is going on right now, tell people the different species that are available there.
So we got stalker trout. We've had those for a long, long time, since back when it was Barber Ponds. But we also have 2 trophy bass fisheries, Bald Eagle Pond and Blue Heron Reservoir. Blue Heron Reservoir is also like turning into a trophy cat fishery where we got some good cats. And we actually just stocked with about 30 or 36 ones that were all about 20 pounds. So really good sized catfish. And then we also have a really good crappie population that'll start doing real well here before the ice comes on. We got some walleye and sagai, and then 2 of our ponds actually have pike as well.
Yeah. And when you said until the ice comes on, and then it turns into a great ice fishing destination. And you mentioned the stock trout. Now, you've got so many opportunities there. I think they get overlooked sometimes. But, boy, if you're looking for an easy place to take some kids fishing and go out, you guys get heavily stocked both the spring and fall. But heading into the fall, they seem to stock you guys heavily both to grow some holdover trout and for the ice fishing. Have you started receiving those stockings?
Yeah, we actually had our first stocking of the year about 2 weeks ago, and we'll get those, depending on which pond it is, about every 2 weeks, clean until we get ice, and we'll cut some holes and dump some in there too.
What, are there any ponds or any ones in particular, if you were bringing a youngster out and wanted to just get him into some stock trout, that may be better than the others?
Probably the most common one is Sandpiper. That's the old Barber Ponds one. That's the one right off the road on the left-hand side to the north. It's got the most access. There's not a whole lot of place to get snagged. It's a good place to learn to fly fish too.
Well, yeah, and
that's when we put the most trout into, and has the most parking, and it's close to bathrooms, which is always important with those kids.
And what you said too about whether it's streamers, and this is a great time of the year for streamers because those trout are going to be close to shore. It's fly fishing to me. I wish more fly fishermen would learn to fish still water, and a lot of beginning fly anglers would really get a lot more confidence if they'd start fishing lakes, because you're not having to worry about dealing with currents. And if you can get some open areas where you don't have a tree behind you, you've got a lot of room to cast. You can water load the rod. There's just a lot. You can make roll casts. There's just a lot of fundamentals that you can really sharpen fishing in lakes and ponds.
Yep. And right when I started here, I got more and more into fly fishing because it was such an easy environment to practice in without screwing up. But then you can transition into doing warm water too, and you can throw poppers or you can throw streamers. You can chase those walleye or those pike with it too. Or you can throw really, really small stuff and try and get bluegills. Or, you know, in June, try and throw something like cottonwood seed and try and catch carp, which is probably the hardest one to catch on the fly rod.
Yeah, people don't realize that. But boy, I tell you what, when you hook into one, they'll pull your string, won't they?
Oh, yeah. It's a good, like, 20-minute fight.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things you got going up. The first one I want to talk about is Halloween. And this, to me, I really kudos to Parks and Wildlife because we're getting the kids out of the house. We're getting them out by the outdoors, exposing them to things. You have kind of a Halloween party coming up. Tell us when it is and tell us about it.
Yeah, next Saturday on the 26th from 3 p.m. till 6 p.m., we're doing what we call trailer treat. So what we have is campers in the park decorate their RVs, their tent sites, even their cars, like a trunk or treat or like a safe night event. And then the kids come out in costume and they go campsite to campsite and they follow the trail lines and then they go get their candy. And then we also have special event activities located throughout the campground. So we're going to have like a haunted campsite. We're going to have snacks and hot drinks that are provided from Dutch Brothers. We'll have backyard games like backyard bass where the kids can actually fly cast and learn to cast and go fishing, even if they're not in the water. Then we'll have some other people from the county and from the city, fire department, police department, and some of the local high schools will all come out and decorate, give out candy, and have games to play with people.
And I believe there's even going to be some kind of a ride that'll take them around, too. Is that right?
Yep. So parking on that end, you know, you're in the campground, so there's not a whole lot of parking lots. So we're going to have the trail ride available where we tote kids, the little trick-or-treaters around on a trailer and take them from one side of the park to the other, from the haunted house to where the snacks are. And that actually last year was probably one of the kids' favorite things was just getting to sit in that trailer because it's something kids these days don't get to do a whole lot of.
Right, you know, and it gets them outdoors. You know, first of all, it's great because it's a safe Halloween experience for them. They get to dress up and experience it all. The other thing is that it gets them, it shows them the park and the water and the trails. And, you know, it piques their interest maybe a little, or maybe it gets mom and dad out there to see this resource so close to the metro area or so close to the whole Front Range where you can get out there and just have so much fun and come back when it's not an event, do some fishing or a picnic or walk the trails. And that's next Saturday from 3 to 6, right?
Yep.
And I know there's one other thing. We'll take a couple minutes and try to get that in. And that's you were telling me about something called Agents of Discovery. It's an app.
Yeah, it's an app on the phone or on a device that the kids can get. It's fairly similar to Pokemon Go or the Harry Potter Wizards Unite, where it's augmented reality. So it uses the screen and it uses the camera. So a kid can go out there and one of the stations will be catching monarch butterflies with like a honeycomb. And then another one might be catching fish with a net to do a biological study. But there's also ones that are questions. So they have to match up the image of a bird with the correct name of the bird or a sound that an animal makes with the correct sound. And then there's other ones where it's just real deep thinking, like, what do you appreciate about nature? Like, how are you going to make a difference in the outdoors for future generations, which is our whole goal as an agency.
And that's Agents of Discovery. And you tell me the app is kind of specific to parks. Is that right? You pick the park?
Yep. So like Bar Lake is starting a program too. Staunton State Park starting a program, but there's other ones around the country. California State Parks has it. They have it at the U.S. Forest Service. BLM has some. Stanley Lake State Park has them. But the app is unique to that park. So that activity is trying to teach you more about that specific park. So ours has stuff about trophy bass fisheries and catch and release principles.
That sounds great.
That might be different.
And you just go to the app stores to find that?
Yep, and it's free. It's totally free. And then they can actually even download it ahead of time, the entire game, and then come out to a park. So even if that park, they don't have good cell service or something on their tablet or on their parents' phone, they can still play the game because it preloads it.
That's
awesome.
But
it's triggered by GPS.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, we're out of time. We got to run, but great, great stuff. I assume most of this stuff is on your Facebook and website?
Yep, both of them are.
All right. Thanks so much, Scott, and I think the Halloween thing is fantastic.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Have a good one.
You bet. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back, we're going to take you to another part of the state and talk about some waterfall and some fishing. We're going to spend plenty of time on it on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.